Good morning. I feel as though a slight apology may be in order for mentioning the season of winter in a sermon title, especially after the long, hard, unending, at times it seems, winter that we have experienced. But only a slight apology, and especially after having one of the most gorgeous Saturdays yesterday that I can remember. Hope you had a wonderful day and are enjoying the Lord's Day. Thank you for being here today for our worship period. But this expression, come before winter, is filled with meaning. When you study the life of Paul, and you know that we have in 2 Timothy 4, the last chapter of inspiration from his incredible pen, and more from his pen, from his incredible heart, then you understand that the message to the young man Timothy, his son in the faith, to come to me as soon as you can, going back to verse 9. And then in verse 21, come before winter. And Sean, thank you for a superb job of reading this passage with names that basically we do not find names that we would use for sons today. And I thought he did a wonderful job and grateful for it. As you look back at verse 9 forward in chapter 4 of 2 Timothy, you see that Paul's focus is upon people. Not only does he want Timothy to come as soon as he can, because Paul is in prison, and you can imagine he's been there for a while. The year is probably around 80, 65. The time may be just a matter of days or weeks or months before his execution that we read about from church history. And so he wants to see his son. And you can certainly imagine that. But he says, when you come, bring John Mark with you because he is of useful service to me. And that is so encouraging to find that expression. Only Luke is with me. And you can imagine how wonderful it would have been not only to have his personal physician with him, but someone who also was a missionary as he was, an evangelist, a minister. And then he talks about bringing the books and bringing the parchments. Paul was forever the student. Although so brilliant in terms of things that he has written and given to us, he still had so much that he wanted to learn, so much to read, as well as to write. And so he mentions bringing both books and parchment. He mentions also about stopping and bringing the cloak that I left with Carpus, what we would use for an overcoat, the term for an overcoat. Winter was coming. He had to provide for himself in his own hired dwelling. And as he did so, he prays for these things and requests these things of Timothy. Timothy is living a long way away at the time of the writing of 2 Timothy, most likely in what we know as the Turkish city of Ephesus. And so this expression of come before winter means come while you have the opportunity, because you will not be able to travel when winter comes. In fact, that is the meaning for the term for Timothy. But even more importantly, the meaning for us. Why is it that Timothy was to come before winter? If Timothy had to come by way of sea, which most likely he would, as Paul had done, especially in the journey that we know to Rome in Acts 27, and then the necessity of stopping at a particular seaport because winter was coming, and then after that, the shipwreck that occurs on the way to Rome, Paul knew very well, not only from experience, but as well as by inspiration, what he meant when he says, come before the winter season. Travel was going to be impossible. And so the meaning of this little expression is that there are things that we must do, things that we need to do, things that we have to do to seize the moment, to seize the opportunity, lest it's too late. And if Timothy delayed, most likely it would be too late. If Paul is writing in late summer, or if Paul is writing in early fall, he's giving Timothy the opportunity to make preparation, to make provisions for a long journey. And also time that would probably have taken weeks for the journey to occur. And And so take advantage of the time that I'm giving you to come while you can travel. Because it may very well be that you will not be able to travel. And when you do come, I may not be here. And that could very well have been the case. And so the message for us is there are things to do in the moment. And here we are in a beautiful spring, but if the Lord tarries, there is going to come the heat of summer in which you will forget all about all the complaining you did about the cold of winter, and you'll be complaining about that heat, and you'll be looking forward to the beauty of the fall, and then, of course, the reality of winter. There are things that need to be done before winter. There are decisions to be made. There are choices to be made. There are actions to be taken. And so really our theme is today that of what we major in sometimes, procrastinating, which is the killer of good and well-intentioned activity. When I was a senior in high school and working at the local radio station back home, the county fair was going on early in the year, and that is in the school year. I was working as a student council project in the concession stand. We were to reap all the benefits of manning the concession stand for the entire week. And yet, at one point, I was walking across the crowd of the county fair and came across the owner of the radio station, my boss, definitely a major doer in life. He would go on and accomplish being president of Lions Club International from that small town. And he had to his side a portable recorder from the radio station with a mic that he was just going around meeting various people and asking them what their impressions of the fair happened to be. To this day, at the age of 88, I refer to him as Chief with great affection. And I said to him on that day, "Chief, I thought about doing that very same thing." He said, "Yeah, the difference between you and me is you thought about it and I did it." I've never forgotten that. And although it has not kept me from putting things off that I need to do and seeing people that I need to see and making visits that need to be made and all kinds of things that need to be accomplished, that comes ringing back to me, especially when we have emphases like this. You thought about it, you meant to do it, but I did it. There's an imaginary story about the devil preparing his apprentice devils for coming to the earth for the very first time. And before they come, he interviews each one to say, "I want to know what your strategy is going to be to deceive as many people as you can, to miss heaven, and to be sure to make it to hell." And so the first devil says, "Well, I'm going to tell people that there is no God." And he says, No. "People know in their heart of hearts that there is a God. Nothing else really makes sense of the world." And the second guy says, "Well, I will tell them that there is no hell." And he says, No. "That won't work. People know that if there's a heaven, there has to be a hell, especially when there is so much evil in the world. That won't work." And the third apprentice said, "I will tell them there is no hurry." He says, "Yes. Yes, we will cause millions and millions and millions of souls." In fact, billions would be appropriate. Billions of souls to miss heaven and to make hell by convincing people that there is no hurry to do something about their souls. What if Timothy chose not to go at the time that Paul instructed him to come before winter? To tell you the truth, I cannot imagine Timothy delaying about anything that Paul would have told him. But let's just suppose that he did. Let's suppose that he is like us when we say, "You know, I've got plenty of time to prepare for that. I've got plenty of time to get my travel provisions, travel sizes of everything. I've got plenty of time to pack. But, you know, here is something in Ephesus that desperately needs to be done before I leave. And these people over here, I have promised them that I would do this, that, and the other, and I would go with them, and I would do this. And then the season of late fall and early winter appears, and Timothy still has not left Ephesus, and it is too late to go. And then when he arrives, after the winter is over, he's looking for the Apostle Paul, and as he investigates, he finds that Paul is not there, either because he's already been executed by the Romans, or he's won his second defense, as we believe, and then done even more evangelistic effort, most likely in Spain, before returning to Rome to be executed. But either way, he missed his opportunity if he delayed. Back in the 12th century, there was a preacher by the name of Bernard of Clairvaux. He's the one responsible for this little proverb that we sometimes hear, "The road to hell is paved with good intentions." We have such good intentions. There is so much that we intend to do, that we want to do. Question is, would we have gone? And we'd like to think that we would, every one of us. We'd like to think that we would have been there just as quickly as we surmised that Timothy probably was. There's so much that we need to do, that we need to think about doing. There's so much praying that needs to be made. Prayers offered to God. Prayers of confession. Prayers of forgiveness. Prayers in behalf of those we love. Prayers in behalf of those we don't, but who we know we have responsibility for praying. I appreciate Brother Gary's expression a moment ago as he welcomed the Chasteen family into our family by saying, "We're going to put you to work because there's so much work to do in Henderson and in Chester County and all points beyond." And as there has been throughout the years, so much effort that's gone out from this special place into all points of the world, we do not rest upon that. We realize that there's even more that yet needs to be done. And in our relationships, there are visits that need to be made. There are good needs that need to be done. There is forgiveness that needs to be offered. There is compassion that needs to be shown. There are bad habits that need to be broken. There is service that needs to be given. There are gifts that need to be given, and on and on. And on it goes. What must you do before winter? The Quakers are responsible for giving us this little passage that says, "I expect to pass through this world, but once, any good that I can do, let me do it now, because I will not pass this way again." We have things like that from time to time, even put to music, and it encourages us and motivates us. And yet, if we're not disciplined, we fall right back into the old trap of the devil's procrastination, of remembering there is no hurry to do the most urgent and important things. What is it that you need to do before winter? There are people who would love to hear from you one or more of these things. I love you. I am so sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I miss you. I wanted to see you just one more time. I wanted to squeeze your hand. I wanted to give you a hug. I wanted to hear your laugh. I wanted to see your face. I wanted to hear your voice. Lists like that can go on and on and on. I want you to think, as we close today, about the last day. If you knew that today was the last day. Now, this is not some kind of effort to try to get us to think about what we have to do so much tomorrow or the next day, but I want you to think about if we knew that this was our last day, what would you do? And really, Scripture teaches us that we are to live in such a way that we treat each day as if it were our last day. Not being morbid, we're excited. We're grateful for every day that the Lord gives us, but what if it were our last day? What is it that you would do if you knew that? It's a good thing that we do not know. It's a good thing we didn't know how much time we have left, basically. But if we did know, and this were our last day, what would you do? What would you change? What would you finally get around to doing? Who would you see? To whom would you talk? What would you ask? What would you say? Who would you visit? Where would you go? I see this guy a lot. I see him in the mirror. And you cannot prepare a lesson like this without doing a whole lot of confessing and a whole lot of repenting. But I want us to think today about being this guy, because it is so real. And I want to appeal to you to think about what you need to do, not just before winter, but what you need to do right now. He was going to be all a mortal should be tomorrow. No one should be kinder or braver than he tomorrow. A friend who was troubled and weary, he knew, on him he would call and see what he could do tomorrow. It was too bad indeed that he was so busy today. More time he would have to give others tomorrow. The world would have known him had he ever seen tomorrow. But the fact is he died and he faded from view. And all that he left here when living was through was the mountain of things that he intended to do tomorrow. I wonder if Edgar Guest, who you could say was the Norman Rockwell of American poetry, had in mind that guy we call the rich fool in Luke 12, who learned that he did not have the rest of his life to store up in bigger barns all the possessions that he had been given one special harvest. But his soul was required of him that very night. And you see, I don't want us to leave here, not one of us, whether we're in the youth group, whether we're in our university students, whether we're in the faith and family age group, our young professional age group, prime time, our senior saints, I don't want us to leave here today without realizing it's not that I can wait until winter. I must act today. There's a decision that needs to be made. There's a choice that needs to be made. There's an action that needs to be taken right now. Do you need to repent, even as a child of God, of some sin that is still harboring in your life? Do you, as someone who's not yet been baptized into Christ, need to repent and to confess your faith in Jesus and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins, your sins completely washed away? What is it that is more important to you? As I ask myself, what is the thing that is most important to you, more important to you than being sure that you're on the road to heaven? And if today were your last, if tonight were your last, that's where you would be. If there is something that is standing as an obstacle in your way, we're going to sing the song we've sung many, many times, but it's appropriate and relevant for right now. All things are ready. Come to the feast. Let's not wait till winter. Come now as we stand and sing.